Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. God, for visiting us today. God, give us the strength and the courage to fill our lungs with praise, the praise and the worship you deserve. Father, we pray that you will just continue to lead and guide the rest of this service this morning. God, you have a message for such a time as this for Calvary today. And Lord, we just want your move, your agenda for our life. And so God, we just surrender ourselves to you and to the rest of this service. Continue to speak, lead, and guide. Smile on us today. Let us see your presence and hear your voice. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a worship. You may be seated this morning. Amazing. I'm telling you, I love this church. God is rippling some waters, and the best is yet to come. I'm loving this. You know, it's fun when you can come excited and anticipating things on every Sunday. Because his mercies are always new, and he's just getting started. New works, new things he wants to do and set us free in. Okay, I just got goosebumps. So, before getting too far, Pastor Stacy and I just want to say thank you for your pastor appreciation last Sunday. Everything, your expressions, your words, the cards, the expressions of your, that was like a card shower. You did a card dump on us. And in fact, there's so much humor too with your cards that you just need to know we love. And so like some of you couldn't even find a pastor appreciation card because they were sold out. So you gave us a happy birthday card and all that stuff. And I'm just telling you, I just loved it. So thank you for being an incredible, generous church. We are so grateful. And so thank you for being who you are. And trust me, you touched us last Sunday night as we started going through the cards and reflecting on the day. It's special. I want to thank our Royal Rangers, all of our Rangers. So Jared, the Rangers that were busy yesterday raking some of our elderly folks' yards, thank you. Yeah. I love it when we, I just love it when we watch our church just be the church and minister to one another. And so, incredible job, Rangers. Great job. Commander Jared, awesome. Next Sunday, November 12th, will be Pastor Renee's last Sunday with us. In fact, she's out ministering today. So next Sunday will be her last official Sunday with us on staff. And so we just want to, even though we just did pastor appreciation, next week we do want to do another opportunity of just letting her know that she's loved and appreciated. So if you want to do an additional card of just letting her know your thoughts, your sentiments, again, we know we just did pastor appreciation. But we just want to, what we want to do, and it's one of the things Pastor Stacy and I shared with you, over this next year, we're going to love God, we're going to love people well, and we'll be generous. If we hang on to those three things, and I know God will bring more, but when we start to dial in, this is our opportunity to appreciate and to love people well. And so let's take advantage of that next Sunday. So just know also we'll have cupcakes, because how can you meet without eat? Sorry. So we will have some cupcakes that will be available as we leave next Sunday. So it'll be a party. So we encourage you to be prepared next Sunday. Also, just making sure you saw that announcement, kids will no longer be in the service starting in 2 weeks, November 19th. So next Sunday with Pastor Renee's last Sunday, they will still go worship in there. But then the kids will stay in worship and we'll dismiss them like at about this part of the service as we transition from worship. And we do are in need of a couple other leaders to help. And so see Pastor Stacy for that. We've gotten a phenomenal response. We're having key leaders lead each week, a specific week each month, like week one, week two, week three. We need week four and five. You what? Yes, she said yes. And so we've got volunteers underneath each of those key leaders. So Pastor Stacy will be helping supply those leaders each week. And so we encourage you to, if you have a, as we share that, if you have God quickens your heart, make sure you see us. Well, this morning, this is what I have been, it's one of those moments for Stacy and I that when we were praying as God was transitioning us, we were already Youth Alive and its ministry. You need to know, I mean, even though we've been now transitioned from it for a month, it is far from transition from our hearts. So teenagers, you will always have a pastor, you have pastors that believe in your generation and your mission field, which is your local schools. And I am, that it's one of those parts when we were praying, God, it would be so cool wherever you would take us, that somehow some of the first things we could do is to bring on, if it was in a district that they didn't have, that the church hadn't supported our Youth Alive missionary in that district, we wanted to make it one of the very first things that we did is that we brought that missionary on to monthly support. So when God led us your way, we were already supporting Dan and Marlena, and long-term. And I mean, way back when I was in the district, you were supporting us. So we're talking long history of supporting Youth Alive in the. And one of the amazing things when I thought of this day, when I started looking on the calendar, looking ahead after we were voted in, I just started to smile because who's the first missionary that's already scheduled? Dan and Marlena. And so to me, it was even just one more, like God's in the details. So this can sound trivial to you, but I'm just telling you, I'm just sitting there smiling. God is dotting an I and crossing a T for Stacy and I. That it's a continuation, and even today symbolizes an additional partnership that we will partner with Dan and Marlena on. And this couple have been incredible friends to us over our journey, and we've been able to do this together. We love and admire them. And so anytime we have a missionary here, and I didn't give you a heads up last week to prepare you, so I'm going to do it now. Anytime we have a missionary guest that's going to be here, when we invite them to the stage, would you do me one favor? Let's give them one big, big ovation, but stand to our feet if you're physically able, and let's welcome our missionaries. So this morning, the first missionary that we get a welcome to this pulpit is our Wisconsin, Northern Michigan missionary, Dan Herod. So will you give him a Calvary welcome? Dan.
Love you. Awesome. Grab a seat. We got work to do. So I'm excited to be back. This is my third time being with Calvary Assembly of God Church, and every time it's been special, and today is going to be no different. As Pastor Kent said, this is not a coincidence that all the details have lined up. And first, I got to say, Pastor Kent, Pastor Stacy, thank you so much for you. Thank you for being great friends. Thank you for being great people. Thank you for just being awesome. So can we show appreciation? I know you did it last month, but let's show appreciation for the pastoral leadership in the house. Yes, so I brought my family with me, literally and photographically. You're about to see a picture of my family, but on the front row, I am so thankful to have my amazing wife, Marlena. We've been married 21 years, celebrated that this past August. Yes, she is the best gift outside of salvation that God has ever given me. And my son, sitting right next to her, he is 16 years old, and he is taller than me at 16, and that was a pretty great day. We figured that out this past school year. It was before school began. We're standing in our kitchen in front of our refrigerator. My daughter looks at me, and she says, Daddy, Logan's taller than you. I said, Son, take your shoes off right now. We're settling this. And so he kicks his shoes off. I kick my shoes off. We're both in socks. We're back-to-back, and he got me, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Great job, son, but I still have more money. And so I think that one day, I hope he gets to say, Dad, I have more money than you. And not because I was a fool financially, but because he genuinely just thrives and succeeds at life. Now, this little ball of joy sitting in the picture, her name is Camden Joy, appropriately named. She is 10
teen. Does anyone have children in your life like that? Like, okay, you are young, but you have a big side personality. She absolutely loves being funny. She loves humor. And I take partial credit. Why? Because I love dad jokes, okay? And I'm about to tell you one. Are you ready? Okay, Pastor Kent, do you want to know what always gives me butterflies? Caterpillars. And so I think that it's important. You have to laugh, right? And so one day, Camden, she was being super cute. I mean, exponentially cute. I said, Cammy, you are so cute. I cannot stand it. She said, Daddy, do you want to know what I can't stand? I said, no, honey, what? She said, your jokes. I was like, oh. Now, I was like, you're grounded. Go to bed. No, I did not. But she's amazing, and I can't thank God for her. And this golden retriever in the picture, the reason why she's not looking at the camera, guilt. This is what happened, okay? I left a Quick Trip blueberry dunker donut on the end table next to the sofa for 14 seconds in our house the other day. That's all she needed. Gone. Absolutely gone. Yesterday morning, I left bacon on the kitchen counter. All she needed was time, and she got it. So the reason why she's not looking at the camera is guilt, but we love her. Now, as a family, though, we're committed to this one idea of students living better, helping every student in Wisconsin and Northern Michigan better understand that there is hope for you, there's a purpose for you. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. As long as there's breath in your lungs, God has an idea for you, and it's a good idea for your life. And we, as a church, we've got to run towards students. We can't wait for students to show up here. We've got to go to where they are and be ambassadors of hope. We can't wait for students to just show up. And trust me, if you love students enough, they will start showing up as well. But we've got to lean forward and show and tell of this great love, this great gospel. And so Students Living Better is what Youth Alive has been leaning forward to do for the past 13 years here in Wisconsin and Northern Michigan. And one of the ways that we do that is through school assembly programs. During the day, we get to go to public high schools and middle schools and present a mental health message. Right now, the Center for Disease Control has identified student mental health as a crisis. Right? And so it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons. How many of you have a smartphone? You can raise your hand. This isn't a shaming moment. Yeah, I do, right? How many times a day do you think the average American checks their smartphone? How many of you say more than 25 times? More than 50 times? More than 75 times? Right? Okay. My son's not putting his hand down until I get to 1,000. Now, 90 times a day is the average time an American checks their smartphone. So if you're 12 years old and your parents hand you a smartphone, you do 90 times 365, and 1 year at 12 years of age, your attention will have been diverted to this glowing rectangle 32,000 times. And if you have your smartphone between ages 12 and 18, let's multiply by 6. Before you graduate, your attention will have been diverted to the glowing rectangle 197,000 times before you're even old enough to vote. Now, technology is a great thing. I'm an Avengers fan, and I love Thor. Like, he is my favorite Avenger. And he's got a hammer. And that hammer can literally take him anywhere. This is Thor's hammer, folks. Thor's hammer can also do a lot of work. It can do a lot of good. It can also do a lot of bad. Guess what? This is Thor's hammer. So what do? Do we not let students have technology? No, absolutely not. We empower them to use technology in a healthy way. And it starts with us modeling it for students, and then providing healthy parameters for them to use. And so I'm going to show you a picture of my friend Terrence Talley speaking at Marshfield Middle School. There's 500 middle schoolers in this gymnasium. And Terrence, my friend, is bringing this message of hope. And his message was simple: take care of each other. And again, during the day, we're not sharing any religious content. We're simply sharing hope. We're sharing wisdom. We're sharing concepts that will help a student live a better life. And at the end of this talk, Terrence has all 500 students stand to their feet, and he says, find three people in this room who you can go up to them and say, I've got your back. You're not alone. Out of 500 students in the room, all 500 move around. And they start finding three other students, and they're like, I got your back. I'm with you. You're not alone. That same moment happened at Stratford
over a year ago. And the principal told me afterwards that she walked up to a young student in the room who the staff was convinced that this young girl hated them. But the story behind the student's struggle was that every adult in this student's life had failed her. Every adult that was supposed to be her shelter was not. Every adult that was supposed to be her provision was not. And so when you're that young, guess what story you begin to believe? You begin to believe, I'm out here by myself. And if no one will fight for me, then I'm going to have to fight for myself. That's what you believe when no one fights for you. So this young woman was standing there in the gymnasium, and the principal walked right up to her. She didn't know how she was going to be received. She didn't know if this young girl was going to shoot daggers back at her with her eyeballs. And the principal said, I've got your back. And this young woman looked at the principal, smiled warmly, and said, I know. And 50 minutes is all it took for that young woman's heart to wake up to the truth that somebody loves her. And for that day, it was her principal. And that's just one of the ways that Youth Alive brings hope into public schools. Now, Terrence Talley isn't the only speaker I get to work with. You'll see a group of speakers on the screen behind me, some of the best ever on the screen. And here's my hope that Youth Alive would be able to bring a mental health assembly to Marinette this school year. And you can help make that happen. Before you leave today, you can grab one of these. It's on my table just outside the door to your right. Grab this and give it to the decision maker at your local public school. My contact information is on the back. I'm willing to drive in. I will meet with the principal, the guidance counselor, the mental health professional, and I will sit down and I'll explain the value of these resources to everyone necessary. Now, I want to show you a picture of how many students we've been able to reach since 2010. I say this everywhere I go, and I look at the pastor right in the eyes, and I say, this is kind of your fault. But today, it has a different lens to it, because literally, Pastor Kent and Pastor Stacy pioneered Youth Alive years ago, and because of their faithfulness, this number is made possible years ago here in Wisconsin. Now, here's the truth. We are not done yet, because right now in Marinette, there's a 14-year-old boy who's wondering if it's worth it. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. So we got to light this city up with God's hope, God's love everywhere we go to every student we see. Now, I know I just waxed eloquently on technology and social media usage, but would you please follow us on Instagram and find us on Facebook, please? I know what I just did, but the first step to recovery is admitting you have a problem. And so when you see our handles show up on the screen, find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Give us a follow. It's how you can stay in the know. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Kent. Would you please show your appreciation as he comes?
Love it. Love it. There is nothing, nothing there is, I don't even know how to describe it, other than one of the fun joys. And so there will be some days I will be, because I'll need a fix. I'll call Dan and say, hey, tell me when you're close to Marinette. I'll go in. I'll be a roadie for you, with you for the day. Because there is nothing like it when God's favor, when we go into a school assembly, the kids are already ticked off because they're going to have a boring school assembly. The teachers are already ticked off because they're losing class time. So you have the whole room already kind of doing the toe tap thing. And there's nothing like it than when we get in, and without fail, God begins to speak to the presenter. And you start hitting on the heart needs that are going on in the room. So the Holy Spirit's at work. You can't take God out of school. And we can watch that even on student levels. When students live an empowered life, God will bring Spirit-empowered moments even at a lunch table. Because it'll happen to be that day you happen to invite and sit down with that loner. And I'm just so grateful for Dan and what his team is doing. we want to be a part of it. And so not only in monthly support, but this morning, would you help us to be able to pay it forward to what God's going to do at Marinette High School, in the middle school, when I think of Menominee. And then, and I'm even praying right now as we're getting a new school superintendent there. Let's believe God's hand and favor to be on that decision that'll open up doors to his purposes, his plans that he has for Menominee. And then we can go down to Peshkill. Let's go along the list here. God wants to and is in the process of doing an amazing work in our schools. And here's our opportunity to pay it forward. So ushers, would you come? And I want to pray on this offering because we want to bless Dan and his family. And it's an amazing privilege that we have Cammie and Logan here. And I'm going to call you guys out because we've lived this life. It's not always the easiest thing to be. But thank you that you came to Marinette, Logan. So thank you. We love you guys, and we want to bless this family because the best days for Youth Alive are yet ahead. If it's already written, let's get a shovel and let's go dig the grave. Well, that's not the story today. There's some students in Marinette that the only way they're ever going to be reached with the gospel if we're going to be willing to enter into their world. And this is the part where we need to pray for our educational system, and the parts of the ways we can reclaim our educational system is when we invest in it. And we've got incredible speakers that can bring the message of hope that is needed in that school for such a time and a day. And this is our opportunity to invest in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Dan and Marlena being faithful to their calling and walking in it with courageous faith. Lord, we just pray right now. We're grateful that we get a partner with them. God, we just pray, unload your power, your generosity into this ministry. Open doors. May the greatest days for Youth Alive in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, and right here in Marinette and Menominee counties, God, will you just be sovereignly already orchestrating doors that are about to open so that more students can come to know you. God, we pray your blessing. Bless the givers today. Bless their generosity, God. I pray that you will just give them favor and just show your strength in their life. We pray your blessing to the gift and the giver, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, good. Fell off my...
That was outstanding. Great job. Great job. So in addition to serving as a Youth Alive missionary, I'm also an author. And today I want to chat really quickly about a book that I just released 4 or 5 months ago. And this book was needed because of one simple reason. You see, the family picture that you saw is missing somebody.
We have three children. Our middle daughter, Peyton, 12 years ago, passed away in her sleep when she was just 13 months old. And so what happened to us after our daughter passed away is that people started to say things to us. And things like, God would never give you more than you could handle. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Yeah, weren't you tempted to give them more than they could handle? And then you could say, I'm not God, ha ha, loophole. And so I think there's a better way to talk about tough stuff. And for the next few moments that I have with you today, I'm going to chat just briefly about some of the ideas that were in this book, which will be available for you after service for purchase in the foyer there. My son will be helping us out there. But I want to talk really fast about how you can better understand God in a way that will help encourage you to move forward no matter what has happened. Because if someone comes up to me and says, well, God will never give you more than you can handle, then I have to ask them, what about those nights after my daughter passed away that I was actually okay if I go into sleep, I'd be okay if I didn't wake up? What about those nights? What about the days that I wanted to stop following Jesus? That was way more than I can handle. And the problem with this statement is that it's not true. God never said this. He did say in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can handle. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God said he won't let you be tempted beyond your ability to handle it. And sometimes that means you not putting yourself in a situation of being tempted. Hello. But as far as you going through suffering, the Bible never promises God to feather the amount of suffering in our lives. It's never there. Read it. Try and find it. It's not there. So following Christ means you're following what the scripture calls the suffering servant. Meaning the way of the cross is a way of life and death. It's both and. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And if we can make room today in our hearts for what God wants to say to each and every one of us, we will all leave to encourage. Even our friends watching us online right now, if you'll just dial in and you'll hear what scripture has to say, you're going to leave this room encouraged. Now there's one verse that I want to anchor on this morning, and it'll be the foundation for all I'm about to share next. But before we dive into that, I shared this with our Sunday school class this morning, but my dad is deaf, which means I am fluent in sign language, which also means I got away with a lot of trouble when I was a kid. It was awesome. But if it's okay, I would like to do some sign language for you. But here's what I need. I need you to read the verse on the screen behind me out loud, and I'm going to sign to you what you are saying to me. Is that cool? All right, here we go. Wow, that was loud. All right, here we go.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Hey, awesome. Clap for yourselves. Great job. Great job. Now, if it's okay, I want to teach you some sign language. Everyone point at yourself, point at your head, point at your neighbor, and do a double high 10. Point at yourself, point at your head, point at your neighbor, do a double high 10. Repeat after me. Say, I think you are great. Aw, and then you could say thank you, right? Yeah, clap for yourselves. Great job, great job. Now, it is so important that we let God speak in this moment. It is so important that we let the Word of God be the basis of what we believe about God. Because if we run around claiming that God said things he never said, that's got to frustrate him. So let's be faithful to his written revelation. Let's be faithful to what he's already revealed to us. And in this verse, Jesus gives three simple ideas that of following him, if we would believe it, when we follow him, three things are going to happen. And the first one is this: when we follow Jesus, we get peace. We get peace. Peace is not the absence of opposition. It's the presence of someone greater. It's power. It's the presence of wholeness. It's the presence of shalom, as the scriptures say. It is more than an idea. It's the presence of a supernatural God in the middle of unbelievable calamity. After the fog of grief began to lift off my life in the wake of my daughter's passing, I discovered peace. It didn't make it any easier, but I found something inside that was directly from heaven. And that was the presence of peace in my life. And that was because of what Jesus promised. Peace is found in him. And sometimes we'll search for peace in other places and then get frustrated when it doesn't deliver. Jesus is the only avenue for true peace in our lives. And he is gently waiting. We heard the gifts of the Spirit being used this morning. We heard the call by Pastor Kent to respond to this gospel. Jesus is patiently waiting for you to open up your heart and your hands so that you can come fully alive in him, but he'll never force his way into your life. With compassion, he patiently waits. And he says, I'm ready when you are. Let's do this. So following Jesus will give you peace. Here's a second truth. It'll give you problems. I rarely get amens when I preach this point. But that's the truth. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But here's the truth. Following Jesus will bring problems. If you don't follow Jesus, you'll also have problems. So would you rather have problems with Jesus, who can help you, or would you rather have problems not following Jesus, and then you're figuring it out? Same. I'd rather have problems with Jesus. I was in India in the month of August, just 2 months ago, and I met believers, people who followed Jesus, and I listened to their stories. I listened to their faith. I listened to moments where my jaw was on the floor because in India, it is illegal to change your religion. The government has passed anti-conversion laws, meaning if you are a Christ follower and you lead someone else to Christ, you will go to jail. And the government will do it with no qualms. I don't have that problem in America. But in India, our brothers and sisters in the faith, they have that problem there. But what's amazing is that they are as bold as lions. They're not backing down. But here in America, what does following Jesus create as far as problems? Well, when the crowd is going the wrong way and you say, no, I'm a Christ follower, I'm going to go the right way, that creates problems. Like when you live with integrity at work and you punch in on a time and you don't leave before your shift is over, that's integrity. But when everyone else is fudging their time card and your honesty makes them look like they're lying, that creates problems. When I was in high school, I was on the hockey team. And before I turned 18, the pressure began to build because every single hockey player to a person, when they turned 18, they went to a club. And I was following Jesus in high school and I knew my life is not my own. I walk with Christ, not perfect, but I follow Jesus, so I need to live different. And so the pressure began to mount before my 18th birthday, and I remember all the guys in the locker room were like, Dan, you're going to come with us? I'm like, no, I'm not going with you. And they're like, why not? And I'm like, because I follow Jesus. So then I had Christians telling me I needed to go. And I was like, what? You make your choices, I'll make mine. And it all came to a head. I remember it was between third and fourth hour one day at school. The library was to my left. The lockers were to my right. I was walking down the hall with another hockey player. And he's just pressuring me. He's like, Dan, you're going to go with us, right? I'm like, no, I'm not going with you. And then he said something that absolutely triggered me. He said, Dan, a real man would do it. That was a switch. I stopped. I looked at him. I said, praying will make you way more of a man than going to that club ever will. Amen. Now, he was like, because I yelled it at him, but that's another point. Like, Following Jesus will create problems for you, but they're the best kind of problems to have. Which leads me to my third and final thought. Following Jesus will give you power. And it's not of this world. It is literally the Holy Spirit living inside of us to give us power to overcome, to forgive when people hurt us, to love when it's really hard, to shine bright when all you want to do is quit. When I was in elementary school, we were playing a game outside of our three-story apartment complex. It was like good guy, bad guy game. And I was standing on the grass next to a sidewalk next to the parking lot. And there was this sign here that said no parking. And so I'm just chilling. I'm in elementary school, loving life. It was a great Saturday. And my friends were zipping up and down the sidewalk on their bikes. And there's this kid named Bobby. He had the coolest BMX bike. And he had a hard plastic seat. And Bobby zips past me. His foot slips off the pedal. His rump comes down onto that hard seat. It shatters and pieces are flying everywhere. And all of us were like, whoa. And so Bobby's day is done. He parks his bike. He goes upstairs to his third floor apartment. I'm thinking, that's a bad day for Bobby. Moments later, I hear what sounds like a hurricane coming from around the corner. You see, Bobby had gone upstairs and talked to his mommy and told him a story about how his bike seat broke. Did Bobby tell his mommy the truth? No. Bobby told his mommy that somebody broke his bike seat. He told his mommy that I broke his bike seat. She, with ferocity, just pounds her feet straight at me, and I'm like, whoa. And then she starts laying into me over this broken bike seat, and now I'm yelling at her. My older brother jumps in the picture. He's yelling at her. And then she said the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard, but I didn't know it was ridiculous because I was in elementary school. That woman pointed her finger right in my face and said, I'm going to sue you. And I'm like, oh. Now, I'm in elementary school. I don't know why that's ridiculous. So immediately I picture myself in jail, and I'm like, do they serve three hot meals there? Orange jumpsuit, stripes, I don't know. Like, that's what I'm picturing in my mind. She disappears. We go upstairs, and we tell my deaf dad. Picture all of that in sign language. Vivid. And so now my dad, he processes the story, and he's like, oh, no, she didn't. And so he stands up on his feet. He leaves our second floor apartment building to go to talk to Bobby's mommy. She can't sign. He's deaf. How is this going to go? So he's walking down the hallway. It's my dad, my older brother, myself. It's like an Oompa Loompa parade. And now we're steaming, like on our way. He gets up to her apartment. He knocks on the door. Nothing. Now, we knew that they were home because on the other side of the door, they were doing what I would call whisper yelling. If you don't know what whisper yelling is, that's where a person believes they're whispering, but communicating at 90 decibels. You've been to movies with those people in the room. And if you don't know any whisper yellers, you might be a whisper yeller. Nothing. She never opened the door. Why? Because my dad was there. Moments later, I learned a great lesson because earlier she was really just yelling at me. She was threatening ridiculously to sue me. But when my father entered the picture, things changed. Some of you are facing problems that are bigger than you. But when your Heavenly Father is invited into the conversation, things change. And that's the power that Jesus gives you when you accept His invitation to follow Him. If I could please have the musicians come and help me. As you think about where you're at today, As you think about your life and all that's happened, I think about my daughter passing away. I think about my amazing wife who today is battling migraines. Like, she's the most brave person I know. And the migraine started after she married me, so we know what causes them. So I think about my friends who have gone through impossible situations. There's a while back that my mother-in-law, who I genuinely like, and some of you are like, oh, he speaks of magic. No, seriously, you can like your in-laws, I promise. You can play anything you want, furry leash, Chopin, chopsticks, whatever's on your heart, sister. Just go ahead, rock it. But one day my mother-in-law had a test that revealed a lump, and we just began to pray. And I remember praying with Logan at 4 years old at night, like, buddy, can we pray for grandma? That God would heal her. And the lump disappeared. Another family friend, his name is, we call him Uncle Bobby. He's not a blood relative, but he was Uncle Bobby to us. And he developed a growth on the back of his neck. It was big. And he was scared. So were we. And we got to praying. We're like, God, please heal Uncle Bobby. If anyone can do this, you can, God. So please help. And the growth disappeared. But sometimes the story doesn't end that way. A good family friend of ours, her name's Teresa. Her husband, Dan, is my best friend. And a while back, she was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember joining tens of hundreds of people, thousands of people all across the country, saying, God, please heal Teresa. Cancer won. But Teresa did too. Because the gospel that she believes says that death is not the end. She's never been better. And yes, we weep for our friend. We grieve for those that are gone. But she's never been better. My daughter's never been better. But it doesn't make it any easier here for us. So here's what I would like us to do. Would you please stand to your feet? And you've heard the lie that God would never give you more than you can handle. So now it's time to hear the truth. And you'll see it on the screen. God will never give you more than he can handle. And so no matter what you're facing, if I could have the prayer team come, no matter what you're facing today, know that God is greater. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than depression. He's greater than anxiety. He's greater than relational strife. And no matter what you're facing, as you follow Jesus, you can have peace that passes all understanding. You can have that in your problems because you're going to have problems no matter what. So why not have problems with peace and follow Jesus? And then you're going to have power because your Heavenly Father is going to be in the mix with you. And so as the musicians play, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to find a friend up here. And as you're comfortable, share what you're walking through today, and they're going to agree with you. And if you're not comfortable being specific, just say, please pray with me. And they're going to be great with that. But as the musicians pray, would you respond forward? And if you're not going to respond forward, you don't have to be in a rush to leave because God is still moving in this room. But before we do that, I'm going to ask a question. If today, after hearing the simple truth that God will never give you more than he can handle, you want to follow Jesus, would you be brave enough with all eyes open just to slip up your hand right now? Say, I want to follow Jesus. Even if you've done this 1,000 times, even if you walked in a Christ follower, after hearing the terms and conditions, awesome, awesome, awesome. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. You saw every hand raised. And now we celebrate the truth of what that means. That when one heart turns heavenward, they turn around and they face you, God, who's been pursuing them their entire life. God, we pray for your peace for them. We trust you with the solutions to their problems. And we thank you for your power. God, thank you for you. Thank you for this moment. And these next few moments that we share together as your church family, we trust you for miracles, God. We pray for migraines to be healed, God. We pray for sickness to be gone. We pray for anxiety to be relieved, God. We pray for miracles. Jesus said that you came to give life and life abundant. So, Lord, we trust you for that. If that's you today and you're ready to pray with somebody, leave your seat right now and move forward as the musicians pray.